Why did the chicken cross the road? He got traded from the Yankees to the Mets. What did the father buffalo say to his son when he left for college? Bye, son. Why did the cat cross the road? Who knows why a cat does anything, honestly?
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Why can't
he's a fucking
you
idiot.
Give me the respect that I'm entitled to.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for all my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
From the world-famous Curtiff Electric Network studios, it's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio. Now a podcast, I'm Dr. Steve, and my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medicine provider, gives me street cred to the whack alternative medicine assholes. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
And my partner in all things, Tacy. Hello, Tacy.
Hello.
This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call. 347-766-4323. That's 347.
Poohhead.
Follow us on Weird Medicine. Follow us on Weird Medicine at Twitter. Now, follow us on, I guess it's X now. I'm not going to say follow us on X at Weird Medicine. I'm going to say follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at Dr. Scott WM. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking over with your healthcare provider. Okay, very good. Please check out stuff.drsteve.com. Stuff.drsteve.com. You just go over there. You can click straight through to Amazon, or you can scroll down and see stuff that we're talking about on the show all the time at stuff.drsteve.com. And check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Please, what? No, we are going to talk about it at some length, as a matter of fact. Check out patreon.com/weirdmedicine, patreon.com/weirdmedicine. That's our show with Tacy and me and others from time to time where we just do things that are specific to that particular audience. And 100% of calls that come to that get read on the air. And we're going to be, I keep promising we're going to do live streams and stuff. We are going to do live streams. I just have to figure out the technology. And I have a real job, so I'm working on it. I promise I'm working on it. I promised my shrink I would come up here after Tacy goes to bed instead of doom scrolling YouTube videos with Jimmy Dore all night and WATP and Misery Loves Company and stuff. So that's my homework for this week. And hopefully what that means is I'll get this microphone fixed up here so we can have another guest in the studio again. And I'll get the live streaming technology working and et cetera, et cetera. All right. Very good. And then I did two cameos this week. Whoop-de-doo. They're $5. So because I like doing them, and I think that's the minimum that Cameo will allow me to to charge. I would charge a dollar if they would let me. And I just, you know, say fluid to you, mama. Somebody gave me a script and wanted me to play certain music in the background and stuff. I'll do that. I'll do whatever.
For a small fee.
Yeah, small fee. Now it's $5. Fee. I mean, what the hell? It's just fun. I just like to do it. It's fun. I do not consider myself a celebrity in any way, but I will say stupid stuff to people. So cameo.com/weirdmedicine. Check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net for the best CBD nasal spray. And is it the only CBD nasal spray? I'm not aware of any other.
There are no others.
I didn't think so. There may be, but if there is.
Not as good. Not as great.
All right. Very good. All right. Well, I have a topic for today. And it is this City of Hope announced promising results for a new chemotherapy pill that appears to, quote, annihilate all solid tumors.
Oh, wow.
According to research published August 1st in Cell Chemical Biology. So we're going to be looking at that one. Mm-hmm. Data from the preclinical research, in other words, not before clinical trials, has so far demonstrated effectiveness in fighting cancerous cells, including those caused by breast, prostate, brain, ovarian, cervical, skin, and lung cancers, the health system stated in the release. So let's, I would like to look at the original paper here, because this is some really breathless reporting that's going on over this thing that has not been studied in a clinical trial yet. So they, in their summary for this paper that they printed in Cell Chemical Biology, which is, I'm not in the basic science thing, so I've never heard of this journal. It says, targeting transcription replication conflicts, a major source of endogenous, in other words, inside the body, DNA double-stranded breaks, and genomic instability. Okay, so what they're talking about is just things that mess up your DNA could have important, and targeting those things could have important anti-cancer therapeutic implications. Absolutely. Totally agree with that. Mm-hmm. You know, some particularly spontaneous or even genetic cancers caused by some transcription error in a cell that then goes, whoa, I'm more successful than the cells around me, and it starts to grow, right?
Right.
So anyway, there's this proliferating cell nuclear antigen, PCNA, is critical to DNA replication and the repair process. Through rational drug design approach, we identified a small molecule PCNA inhibitor, and the molecule in question that we're going to be talking about is called AOH-1996. It selectively kills cancer cells. This AOH-1996 enhances the interaction between this PCNA and the largest subunit of RNA polymerase. Don't worry about that. Okay, so what it does is it induces, it fucks with this system. Okay, that's the easiest thing I can say. Now, it says it suppresses tumor growth as a monotherapy, in other words, by itself, or as a combination treatment, but causes no discernible side effects. Okay, first off, I don't like the fact that they use the word side effect. They're adverse effects.
Okay.
I mean, that's not really the scientific term for this, side effects. Mm-hmm. Inhibitors of transcription replication conflict resolution may provide a new and unique therapeutic. So how have they determined that it doesn't cause side effects? So right now, I looked at clinicaltrials.gov, they are doing a phase 1 trial. It's undergoing. It's happening now. This phase 1 trial studies the side effects. Oh, stop calling it that. And best dose of AOH 1996 in treating patients with solid tumors that do not respond to treatment. Okay, in other words, refractory. These are people who have been tried on other things, and then they're going to just throw this at them. And, you know, why wouldn't you? You know,
shit,
if everything
yeah.
else didn't work, you'd try something.
Yep.
AOH 1996 may stop the growth of tumor cells by blocking some of the enzymes needed for cell growth. So the objectives of this trial is to determine the maximum tolerated dose. So they're just going to give them more and more and more until people go, stop, you're right. giving me too much. Right. And then that will help them recommend the proper phase two dose. That's where they give it to a lot of people and look for efficacy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the secondary objective is to determine the pharmacokinetics. So this phase one trial, where they're like, it's in phase one trials. The only thing that they're doing, you get about 40 people, and the only thing you're looking at is what's the maximum dose?
Mm-hmm.
They're not even looking at whether it actually works in humans.
Okay.
What I want to do over time, and I will look at this, is how did they determine that this was a molecule that they could give to human beings orally? You know, what process did they go through? Mm-hmm. They go through rats, they go through monkeys, what did they do? And but anyway, the quote from City of Hope was, City of Hope was able to develop an investigational medicine for a challenging protein target. We discovered PCNA is one of the potential causes of blah, blah, blah. Now that we know the problem area and we can inhibit it, we will dig deeper to understand the process to develop more personalized targeted cancer medicine. So this is, you know, this is so new.
Okay.
We don't even know if this is going to do anything in people. Now, if it will, this is awesome.
Choo-choo.
But here's the problem. So now I'm just going to Google new cancer pill. And then let's just see what the headlines say. New cancer pill shows some promise, many doctors say too early. Good for them. That's actually Fox9.com. That's some local Fox station. Here's New York Post. New cancer hope as pill kills tumors thanks to little girl. Apparently, they had some pediatric patient that had recurrent tumors, and they gave it to her. Let me see. Oh, here. Cancer-killing pill, in quotes, that appears to, quote, annihilate. All this breath. Come on. This is way too early
it's
to be.
It's an awful bold statement, isn't it? This early.
New pill targets undruggable protein to selectively kill cancer cells. Yeah, I'm assuming that the cancer cells that were killed in the laboratory. Now, okay, let's look at the New York Post thing. They're talking about this little girl, and let's see what her story is. Researchers developed the drug, blah, blah, blah. Okay, we all know the drug. It's AOH 1996 is named after Anna Olivia Healy, a cancer patient from Indiana. I knew I wanted to do something special for that little girl. Linda Malkus, City of Hope in Duarte, California, leading cancer research center, said. So when she was only 9 years old from neuroblastoma, a children's cancer that affects only 600 kids in America each year, he said, I met Anna's father when she was at the end stage. He asked if I could do something about neuroblastoma, and he wrote my lab a check for $25,000, which apparently... the money opened their eyes a little bit to something. And they said, that was a moment that changed my life, my fork in the road. Maybe you could have paid attention to this kid without the check, but okay.
Yes.
the dad was like, you know, hey, can you do something? And let's see here. So young Anna's, let me see. Okay. My wife, come on, did they give it to her and did it work? Now that we know we were too late to help Anna.
Oh,
for God's sake.
That's terrible.
But we could help others like her. What is this article?
God.
New Hope annihilates all solid tumors thanks
to
this little girl.
Except for the little girl. That's a terrible story.
Horrible.
That's a terrible story.
And the way that they're using them in these things, it's like you're assuming that what this means is they gave it to this kid and she's walking around today.
Yep.
I had no idea. I apologize to everyone. Well,
My God.
These journalists should apologize because New Hope as a pill, quote, annihilates all solid tumors thanks to this little girl. Come on. Well, our hearts go out to Anna's family, and she is a cute kid. And I hope that maybe, I don't know what the connection is between the dad sending $25,000 and them naming the drug after her. I guess that's it. But anyway, good Lord. So stop it with the shitty journalism, please. You know, I have a real thing about shit medical journalism, and this is a pretty good example of that.
If that's not the best example I've ever heard.
Isn't that something?
That's awful.
Lord, anyway, God. Bummer.
That makes me want to.
Show's over.
Yeah, show's over. I was going to say, makes
great show.
We should have saved the best for last there, Dr. Steve.
Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Holy moly.
That's the worst.
God. I'm sorry. I said just stop this show cold. So I hope after all this, I really do hope that this is successful, but I really wish
too, poor thing.
That these, I understand, listen, oh, City of Hope's like, oh, we got something. This is a news story. Stop going to the news and just publish your data.
Right.
When we have the data,
then you'll be
celebrate.
Famous.
Yes.
Then you can be famous.
Then you can get the blowjobs.
Yes. Then you'll be the wealthiest person in the universe.
Or just the blowjobs.
Yeah, I don't think blowjobs and this little girl.
No, I'm not, honey.
It's poor taste saying that.
I'm not. All right. I'm talking about their motivation.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, I've always said that, you know, when people call in and they say, you doctors are just suppressing the cure for cancer, I always said that I would, if that were true, if it was something like, hey, all you got to do is take this specific dose of vitamin D, and we knew that, but we were suppressing it because we want to sell people chemotherapy, I would reveal it just for the blowjobs. That's what I always said. So that's what I'm talking about.
It's not for the money.
It's complete, right. It's not the money. Jesus Christ. Anyway,
Lord.
You know, I get it that it's kind of in the same realm temporally, but it's a different subject. But anyway, all right. Yeah, I can tell you're convinced. But anyway, this is some bullshit. I don't think the molecule is necessarily bullshit. What's bullshit is going to the press with it. Just do the work. Publish your data, get through phase one, for God's sake, before you start getting these journalists all revved up on a cancer kill that annihilates solid tumors. And we're rooting for you. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We're rooting
for you to be right. Yep.
Because, you know, I'm in my position right now because I didn't want anybody else's mom to go through what mine did.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely don't want anybody else's family to go through what Anna's family went through. So if there's something there, go for it. Mm-hmm. But God, anyway.
Poor things.
Yeah. And it just seemed, okay, anyway. All right.
Hey, next topic.
Yeah.
It's distasteful.
Yeah.
It's distasteful.
It is. No, it is terrible.
To me.
It is. No, I agree.
Okay.
Act like you've been there before, people.
Yeah. All right. Tacy, you got some topics?
I have a few.
Okay.
It's Tacy's time of topics, a time for Tacy to discuss topics of the day. Not to be confused with Topic Time with Harrison Young, which is copyrighted by Harrison Young and Area 58 Public Access. And now, here's Tacy.
Well, hello, everyone. So I only just brought up topics this time because Steve said last time I was talking a little longer.
What?
And, well, you did.
No, I did.
And so
not.
Now we're just doing. I'm just doing topics, and then we'll talk about.
No.
Oh yes. So why our body and brain need a vacation? Spending money on vacation brings more lasting happiness than material things. So doing meditation during vacation may help prevent fast decline of its positive effects. So if you meditate on vacation, then your positive effects last even longer.
Hmm.
Not much agreement about how long a vacation needs to be to get the most benefit.
Permanent.
But the pandemic did cause stress, of course. Time off from work is good for our bodies and brains. It increases motivation, cognition, creativity, job performance, and even relationships. Old wisdom that says, what counts in life are memories of beautiful and meaningful experiences. Vacation increases daily sleep. Post-vacation sleep effects last about 2 weeks. Work engagement significantly increased. Burnout decreased, which lasted about a month. So this is a big duh, right? We all knew that.
Right. So you should take a vacation every month? Is that what you're saying? Because the positive benefits only last 1 month? I think they last about 5 fucking minutes. I got back to work and I was immediately burned out again.
Yeah.
After a 2 week vacation.
Yeah.
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 I believe it.
Which wasn't the most stress free vacation, to be perfectly honest, just because our kid got engaged and there was other stuff going on.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Topic number two. A new vaccine shows promise of slowing or even preventing Alzheimer's disease. It targets the most common cause of dementia. The vaccine eliminates toxic cells in mice with the disease. It's called the SAGP vaccination, and it showed fewer amyloid plaques, decreased inflammation in their brain tissue, and increased behavior and awareness.
Okay, so this is a rat study?
Yes.
This is, again, preclinical. So that's interesting that they've got something. I've got here something. This is from the American Heart Association. So that's a decent website to go to for stuff like this. Novel vaccine may hold key to prevent or reduce the impact of Alzheimer's. Now, look. It says a novel vaccine targets a protein involved in Alzheimer's disease. We call it dementia of Alzheimer type, but anyway, because Alzheimer, the guy, doesn't own the disease. You know, that's these eponyms have got to go away. But anyway, helped eliminate toxic cells in mice with the condition. And after the vaccine, the mice had fewer amyloid plaques and less inflammation in the brain that showed and here's the important thing, showed improvement in behavior and awareness. Now, if we can come up with a vaccine that will prevent Alzheimer's disease, hell yeah, I'm all in favor of that.
Yep.
Let's see some human data, but that is kind of exciting. I'm cool with talking about research.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't make any claims.
Mm-hmm.
And don't drag families into it and stuff, for God's sake. Oh, my God.
We're all going to be scarred.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, yeah. Dementia of Alzheimer's type accounts for 50 to 70% of dementia patients worldwide. There's other types of dementia, frontotemporal dementia, or a.k.a. Pick's disease, where people have this burst of creativity and all of a sudden they start painting or playing music and stuff, and then their behavior starts to change and then they just decline. It's like the fly. Remember the fly?
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, he had all these cool sort of superpowers, and then he got weirder and weirder, and then he just completely declined and literally turned into, you know, a monster. And that was kind of an allegory for how Pick's disease works, because you get this huge burst of creativity where people all of a sudden become great painters, or they become great poets or musicians or whatever, and then they stop taking baths, and then they, you know, have difficulty maintaining relationships, and then they decline. So, anyway, and then there's vascular dementia that's where you have lots of basically mini strokes that attack parts of the brain. And those people will decline in a stepwise fashion as opposed to a gradual fashion like Alzheimer's does. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Okay.
Good one.
Topic number three. This is interesting. Leprosy could be endemic in Central Florida.
Yeah, what the hell's going on with that?
Yeah, this is from the CDC. Here's what to know. Central Florida accounts for one-fifth of cases reported across the U.S., 159 cases in U.S. in 2020. In 2015, experts blamed armadillos for higher than normal leprosy cases in the state.
Damn you!
Leprosy occurs when bacteria called Mycobacterium leprae attacks the nerves, which then becomes swollen under the skin. You can lose ability to sense touch and pain. Advanced cases, of course, you can lose fingers and toes. Mm. It is treatable, however. You can get it when a person with another word for them to call leprosy is Hansen's disease.
Correct.
Coughs or sneezes on you.
Again, Hansen doesn't own it, so.
Yes. It's treated with
Oom-bop.
Two or three antibiotics for 1 to 2 years. Early diagnosis is key, and that is completes my topic, my time of topics.
Mm, those are very good.
Those are great topics.
Yeah, so how do you diagnose leprosy? There's weird patches of skin. They look lighter or darker than normal skin, and then they have loss of feeling. And there was a book or a series of books about a guy that had leprosy called... I can't remember. Stephen R. Donaldson. Oh, God, I got to look it up. White Gold Wielder, I think. And what this guy had leprosy, and he would go into this other universe that was ruled by magic. And when he was there, he didn't have the leprosy, but he had a white gold ring. And apparently that was exceedingly rare in that universe, and it carried with it like magical powers. Ooh. But he didn't believe it. It drove you crazy. You wanted to strangle this guy because he kept thinking he was in a dream and he wouldn't use his power. You know, he could have fixed everything. And it was talked a lot about the symptoms of leprosy and stuff that he had. But it is treatable. There are antibiotics. There's a cocktail of antibiotics. Did it say which ones that they used?
No, it did not. But it did say you had to take it 1 to 2 years.
Okay, well, let me look it up then. It looks like you have to take a combination of dapsone, rifampicin, and clofazimine. And it's called multi-drug therapy. I wonder why. I wonder why they call it that. Thanks for letting us know, WHO. Yeah, when you take three drugs, it's called multi-drug therapy. It's very strange. Where did they get that term from? Ugh.
You see? You see? You're stupid minds. Stupid. Stupid.
Anyway, it says that the multi-drug therapy kills the pathogen and cures the patient. Obviously, early diagnosis and prompt treatment prevents disabilities. So, wow. Wow.
Why Central Florida, though? Why blame it on the armadillos? It did not talk about why they blamed it on the armadillos. It just said that it was blamed on them.
Huh, why is leprosy?
Do armadillos go around biting people?
No, I don't know.
I don't think so. I think armadillos are pretty laid-back critters. Yeah, they just kind of walk away if you don't mess with them.
Huh.
Excrement?
People aren't fucking armadillos, are they?
No.
Let's hope not.
Oh, for
that'd be
God's
weird.
Sake.
No, that'd be weird.
Stop it.
This show has gone from bad.
This show
to
is terrible.
Shut up. You're terrible.
It's awful.
Now, 95%
of people.
Now,
they may be licking armadillos. Yeah. You know, just kind of licking them.
You think that's like a thing, like people licking toads?
And, yeah, or licking their car or something like that.
Someone told them that licking an armadillo will get them high, or it's an aphrodisiac.
Exactly.
Now, here's the thing. 95% of people are resistant to this. So there's only a subset of people that can even get leprosy.
Huh.
It says it should be assumed that an infected armadillo could be a source of infection to a susceptible person in contact with its bodily fluids or organs. So maybe, and it's not been identified in any other wildlife. And the CDC advises, okay, thank you, to avoid contact with armadillos whenever possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Really? Ugh. Okay, and if you become in contact with an armadillo's bodily fluids, again, I'm raising the question.
No, don't you even do it. Don't you do it.
then you should be seen by your healthcare provider, and they will monitor you over time. Okay?
I didn't know people could be immune, I guess, to leprosy. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be genetically susceptible to it to even get it.
Isn't it? Well,
yeah. All right. Do you guys want to...
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
That would be three assholes on the radio today.
Well, there's...
no comment.
Me and...
Lord and Lady Douchebag!
All right, let's get this going here.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Dr. Steve, longtime listener, back in the O&A days.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, man. I, 10 years old, realized I only had one testicle.
Uh-oh.
Because, you're with your buddies and obviously realize they've got two. I've only got one, so I'm missing one. I realize that. I tell my parents, hey, I'm missing something here. We go to the doctor, they look around, can't find it. They think, oh, maybe it's going to drop. Never, they can't find it. It's never been there. The only kind of record they have of it when I was born is when I was 6 months old, I had a hernia surgery. Could that have possibly done anything? Just checking. I've been fine. I got three kids, doing great. Just one nut, though. Never found out where it's at. Thanks, Dr. Steve.
No, dude. No, okay.
Wow.
Yes, the hernia surgery could have done something, but it's possible that they killed the blood supply to your testicle. Who knows, particularly if it was on that side, because all of those things flow down the same pathway that the hernia goes. So it is possible, but it'd be good to know. I mean, a urologist could go in there and maybe find a residual...
dried up, raisin-looking testicle.
With an ultrasound in your sac, because what you want to know is that it's not retractile or has never descended, non-descended testicle. Right. Non-descended testicle increases your risk of cancer.
Right.
So it'd be good to know where that thing is. So if it was in your sac and they killed it, no big deal. You got another one. Too late to sue anyway, and there's nothing really to sue over, no real damages other
three
than...
kids and all that.
Yeah. You're good on that. But it would be good to know where that testicle is and if it's still there. I would see a urologist, tell them your story, say, I'm concerned that maybe I had a retained or non-descended testicle. Can you help dope that out? Because if it was in the sac and it's dead, that doesn't increase your cancer risk. But if it's up in your body, that does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Makes sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Makes good sense.
Right. Wanted to get that one out there. There we go.
Hi, Dr. Steve.
Hello.
Time to get back to the fun questions.
Okay.
As we get older, does our sphincter, or as some call it, bunghole, become less elastic or stretching? As a 58-year-old male, I feel a little more strain pushing past the sphincter when having a normal bowel movement. Is there anything to bring back that stretchy sphincter? Thank you.
Sure, but what happens as we get older, particularly if you've had giant American turds, that we have caused some scar tissue in the old sphincter, little micro tears and stuff like that over time. And yes, that will decrease the elasticity. He says he's having to strain a little bit more to have what he calls a normal bowel movement. I would ask, how do you define normal? And I wish I still had the Citracel drop, because that's what I would recommend, is just adding more fiber to his diet and more fluids. Drink more water. Take some Citracel, It's methyl cellulose. It's what they made slime out of in the Ghostbusters movies. Ghostbusters movies. And the bacteria in your gut can't crack it, so it doesn't cause gas. It's the only one of those that doesn't. And it'll make your stools more fluffy and delightful.
What about internal hemorrhoids?
Yes, what about them?
Could that have anything to do with it?
Well, sure. Yeah, if you have internal hemorrhoids or external hemorrhoids, and eventually they scar down.
Or fissures, anal fissures will scar down,
Well,
too.
That was what I... Yeah. And just microtrauma, it would cause... Now,
years of scarring from big...
I'm guessing that you could go in there and take different sized anal...
Like a stretching device?
Yeah, dilators. Yeah. They have anal dilators, and you go bigger and bigger and bigger. They have vaginal dilators that do the same thing for women that were born with vaginal atresia, abnormally small vagina. And you go larger and larger and larger. I'm not sure that that's required here.
Yeah.
Unless it's really pathologic. And in that case, if it is, he needs to see a proctologist.
Yeah, sure there's no real scarring that needs to be.
Or some other problem causing him to have to strain.
Right.
The proctologists are just general surgeons that deal with ass issues. Mm-hmm. And there are so many of them that you can actually specialize in proctology. If you and you say, why would anybody do that? Actually, the procedures they do are pretty fun. Mm-hmm. they have some fun procedures.
And they can help really quickly, too.
Yes. And and people come in and they're miserable because you never think of your stupid anal sphincter until it causes a problem, and then that's all you can think of.
Yeah.
So if you live in a city large enough to have a proctologist, go see one. If not, just see a general surgeon. Just make sure everything's groovy down there. Mm-hmm. And then if it's just that you're a little bit older and your diet and you're not drinking as much fluids, then I think your version of normal stool has drifted a little bit. Just like the definition of being left of center has drifted some, you know what I mean? Politically, all of a sudden you have people like Elon Musk going, well, hell, I'm right wing. How did this happen? Yeah. He's not the only one. That is something that a lot of people have felt. But anyway, all right, here we go. Okay. So I went way back into the voicemails and found some COVID stuff that I thought would be kind of fun now in retrospect. Mm. And here's one that I thought was kind of interesting.
Hey, Dr. Steve, this is Rob from Fredericksburg. How are you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Okay, hold it there. Enough about you. This is all about me. I've been discharged from a rehab facility. I did about 30 days before I unfortunately tested positive for COVID.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm back home, spending out the next few days under quarantine before I continue on my regular life. But I'm just kind of curious if you had any information about people who were vaccinated, like myself, and the odds of them actually getting the COVID vaccine or the COVID virus. Would love to hear the answer. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah, vaccine breakthrough is what he's talking about. And I was vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. I was too.
And Tacy was vaccinated. As far as we know, she never got it.
Oh, wow.
I was vaccinated and almost probably fucking died.
That's
from
what
it.
I think, probably.
Yeah.
When Stevie got it bad.
Yeah. He's old, though.
Yeah. So here you go. So if you're 65 plus and you were unvaccinated, the numbers were like 62% of cases were unvaccinated, but 30% were vaccinated without the bivalent booster, and 14% were vaccinated with the bivalent booster. Now, if you look at people who are 50 to 64, it was 5% vaccinated, 5% unvaccinated, 4.4% vaccinated. And without the booster, and 3.6 with. So the numbers are almost no difference. And then if you look at the young people, you know, 3.3, 1.9, and 1.6. So it decreased it a little bit, but there's, you know, it was almost the same number of people.
Right.
So the vaccine tended to not prevent you from actually getting the virus, didn't prevent you from transmitting the virus. What we did see was a decrease in hospitalizations in people who were vaccinated. So anyway. And then now if you look at this, unvaccinated people, this is the CDC, of course, 1.7 times more likely to be hospitalized. But it doesn't mean that vaccinated people were not hospitalized. Right?
Yes. Right.
Yeah, just more likely to be hospitalized. But, you know, if you're vaccinated, you still got hospitalized. So, so anyway, yeah. And if anybody thinks, I mean, if YouTube wants to strike our channel because I'm saying these things, I mean, this is straight from the CDC. And the other thing is, I'll be happy to show anybody what COVID did to my lung, vaccinated and with the monoclonal antibody, where I had to go to a cardiothoracic surgeon to consider taking out part of my lung. They decided not to do it for right now. They're going to wait a year, but that still may be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the vaccine before anybody else. I was in the vaccine trial with Pfizer, so I had my first vaccine in September of 2020. Got the virus during Delta of September of 2021. Can't believe Tacey and Beck and Liam didn't get it. So that's why I wonder if we did antibodies on you guys. I bet you
would probably
be positive. You just had asymptomatic cases, yep. Which was also a thing. And yeah, I had the antibodies. The next day was basically well. The day after that, and never missed a day of work except I had a cough for about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And a year later, they found this giant, well, giant to me, an eighth of my left lung was just completely destroyed. So I can't imagine what would have happened if I hadn't had all that. I'm going to have to assume that those things helped me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
absolutely.
When is the next time you have a scan or an image of your lung?
Year.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to look at it in a year. They're going to see if it gets infected again. I had to drive to Florida while Tacey and Beck flew because that place got infected. And the problem with it is when you have scar tissue that big in your lung, and if it gets infected, it can't clear it. There's no cilia in there. The white blood cells can't get in there. It's a problem. I had to take antibiotics for a year. I considered filing a workman's comp claim, but there's no comp unless I could just make sure that my medical treatment going forward was covered.
Yeah,
you know?
Which is important.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, well, I've got literally 13 days to
do it. File the claim.
Right? Yeah,
file the claim.
Anyway, no,
that's not
so. Yeah, so that's a really interesting question. Back then, we didn't know. This guy was like, "Well, I got vaccinated. What the hell? How did I end up with COVID?" Now we know that people who got vaccinated still got the virus.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Anyway, all right, we'll be talking about this shit forever.
Ever and ever.
All right.
Hello, Dr. Steve. This is John from Chicago. How are y'all doing?
Good, man. How are you doing? I hope you're
great.
Well.
I'm doing swell too.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, I have baby blue eyes. Always had them.
Excellent.
Didn't just get them.
Mm.
And some people say they like the look of them, but the older I've gotten, especially, I hate them because they are so much more sensitive to light.
Wow.
And because of the lack of pigment. Is there two questions? One is, does everyone's eyes just get more sensitive to light as we get older? And number two, for people in the blue eye category, such as myself, is there anything we can do to make our eyes more tolerant to light exposure as opposed to just wearing sunglasses all the time, even when it's like, you know, overcast out? That's how much of a baby I'm at. And I assume staring directly into the sun is stupid as hell.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
That's stupid. Whatever kind of eyes you have.
I don't know.
Good answer.
Just curious if there's any way to train the old eyes to handle and a light. Anyway, thanks a lot. Love the show.
Yeah, it'd be nice if you could, if there were just a switch, you could just turn down the signal that's going to the brain. Mm. But it just transmits whatever signal it wants. The iris is supposed to control some of that. Mm. And so when you're exposed to light, there's a circuit that says, okay, there's a certain number of photons hitting the retina. It sends a signal to the muscles of the iris, the colored part of the eye, that decreases the pupil size. Mm-hmm. And but the problem with blue eyes is the iris itself is translucent. Mm-hmm. So it can close all at once and the light still gets through. Yep. So it seems to me one thing that you could do is you could wear contact lenses that change the color, of your iris.
Right. Yeah.
The dark, yeah.
That would be one thing, but it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're really cool, though.
They are cool. Looking. Yeah, you can have all kinds
cat
of
eyes,
wacky yeah. colors yeah. and stuff.
Neon.
Purple. And
yeah. The other thing that you could consider doing, which I have no, don't do this, but I know, don't consider doing this. Let me take that back. But I have heard of people who have tattooed their iris.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. No, I have too.
Don't do that. Don't do that. But if anyone has done that and they've had experience with it, let us know. I don't have any data on that. Now, the other side of it, though, is because they are more light sensitive, what would follow from that? What benefit could there possibly be from blue eyes?
Mm. Girls think we're more handsome.
Nighttime.
Hmm. No, I think it's because girls think we're cuter because we have blue eyes.
Well, it is weird that that must be some, there must be some genetic benefit that we don't know that would make women want to mate with guys with blue eyes. Mm-hmm. That is weird.
I think it's because we're the minority.
You think that's what that people like, that women like minorities? No, I'm just saying.
No, maybe not.
That somehow that gives you an advantage.
A uniqueness. Yeah, okay. Yes, that's what it is.
People with blue eyes tend to see better at night, unless there are bright lights.
Correct.
In that case, the lack of melanin makes them sensitive to light at night, and as they are during the day. So, but that would be the only thing. Now, he asked another question. Mm-hmm. When you get older, do things change? Yes, there are some conditions. If you notice that you are becoming painfully light sensitive, you could have a couple of medical conditions. One of them is dry eyes.
Sure.
You would also notice that as you look at a computer screen after time, it starts to become blurry or hard to see. You can buy over-the-counter eye drops called Systane Ultra. Those are the ones I like. Put them in, see if that makes a difference. But either way, see your eye doctor if you're noticing light insensitivity. Light sensitivity. Because glaucoma is also a cause of that. And glaucoma being increased, usually caused by increased pressure of the brain. Shit, increased pressure on the inside of the eye that causes the retina to deform and sending signals to the brain that are incorrect. And so that's one thing, and that can cause blindness. So go get your eyes checked. They check the pressure in your eye every time you go. It's very simple. They can do it with a little puff of air now.
Yep.
And so get that checked. And there are other things, too, that could cause inflammation inside the eye, retinal detachment. Normally, you would see flashes of light, but it could cause increased light sensitivity. And uveitis, which is an autoimmune inflammation of parts of the eye, those can cause light sensitivity as well. So if you notice that, just go get it checked. If you do, and you heard us say this, and you went and got it checked, and that's what it was, and they saved your eyesight, let us know. I might need it.
Hey, can I say before you get the next subject real quick?
Yes, of course.
If you have really light eyes like I do, and I'm sure like
I've never noticed that you have blue eyes because I'm not in the habit of like gazing into the eyes of the man that I know.
I think you only see the red swollen eyes and after my.
I just see the
my emotion.
That's all I see.
So anyway,
that's all anybody sees.
That's probably true. Sunglasses are vital for people with light colored eyes for sure.
Thank you. So,
and hats are vital too.
If you want to save money on Botox, the women and the men out there. Yeah. wear sunglasses when you go outside. Yep. It's the number one thing you can do to prevent those wrinkles.
Yep. And all of my stuff, my house, my office, everything is really, really low light.
Yeah.
I mean, I even cover like the lights, so the light's not so much. I see better when it's a little bit lower light.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, that's interesting.
So my concern would be for him just to make sure that, you know, eye protection is really important.
And transition lenses may be the thing.
Transition
for
lenses are good things too. Yeah.
They actually work pretty well now. These are lenses when you go outside, they get darker, and when you come inside, they get lighter. And they're still crazy expensive, but if you have problems with light sensitivity, that might be worth the money.
I really like mine. I really, really
like them.
You have them? Mm-hmm. I haven't been wearing my glasses.
Yeah, I've never seen you wearing
anymore.
Your glasses.
She doesn't have to read. She's retired.
But when I do wear them, I really like them. Yeah. Makes a big difference.
Well, that's ain't cool. She something?
Mm-hmm.
She's special.
She surely is. All right. Well, let's take this one here.
Hey, folks. Don't think you've ever heard of something. Scott, it might be more Scott's.
That's a familiar voice.
Wheelhouse, but Sheila G. Rosin. I've been doing this about the last 2 months just to see if it helps anything. Stuff is disgusting, but
Sheila G.
I was also
G.
trying
Rosin.
To find just some decent information about it. Didn't know if you knew anything about it or not. Thank you. Bye.
Wasn't Sheila G. the drummer for Prince? No, it was Sheila E.
I was thinking the same thing. Sheila G.
Sheila
Who
G.
cares?
Rosin.
She was awesome. She was awesome.
No, she was awesome, but what the hell is he talking about?
He tripping.
I'm looking.
Oh, I found some rosin.
Okay, you did?
Yeah, but I don't know if this is right. I know marijuana, you know, they make a rosin.
Resin?
That's pretty Sheila strong.
Sheila G. Resin came up
for me. He maybe
it did?
Did it really? I don't have anything.
Okay, well, rosin is a different thing.
Well, but now they use these.
Oh, shilajit.
Yeah,
oh,
shilajit resin. Yeah,
That's different.
Okay. Okay, you know what that is, right?
Shilajit has been used for inflammation.
It's fulvic acid.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay. Now
that makes sense. I was like, man, I love shilajit. She was awesome.
Yeah, it was
except,
Sheila
except
E.
Except, of course, she was Sheila E. Damn, I'm a regular genius.
God, we're just, yeah, we're regular genius.
He's a fucking idiot.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think they use it as a... for inflammation and toxins, remover. It's like
it's scraped off a rock.
Yeah,
is what it is. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, and I think it's probably just fine as long as you don't have any side effects to it. No.
Says here, shilajit is sometimes referred to as Is that what I said?
I think shilajit is correct. You are right.
Oh, okay. Yep. Is referred to as a mineral tar resin, but it's not actually either of those. It's a highly viscous substance like tar or resin that's very dark brown or black in color, but unlike these, is readily soluble in water, but insoluble in ethanol. It's composed of 60 to 80% humic substances, such as humic and fulvic acids.
Right.
Wow.
Which means it's a big chelator. You know, just...
Oh, is that why they're...
Yeah,
yes,
that's
okay.
What it is, yeah.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah. No, I'd say take it and see what happens.
Well, okay.
I mean, no,
unless
it's
toxic.
Hey, listen, we know who it is. He's tough. He can handle it. And for $100, he'll do anything.
Research. Well, now that is true. Okay, it says natural phytocomplex with potential precognitive stuff. Okay, increases spermatogenesis, combats anemia, boosts. Aha.
Now we know the
testosterone.
Now we know. We're getting to the bottom of things. It increases his seminal fluid.
Sheila G. can increase testosterone levels in the body. I want to see data on that, but I will. Will you put that down for next time?
Yep.
And we're going to do, maybe Tacy could do a Tacy's topic on Sheila G. and see if there's actually any. Here's something.
How do you spell it again?
Shilajit.
I'll show you, Tacy. I wonder if you did a comparison between Sheila E. and Sheila Jeet, which one would cause a better testosterone.
A better erection.
That's right.
It says here, this is from National something of health here. Let me see, National Library of Medicine. It says a potent and very safe dietary supplement, restoring energetic balance. Oh, this sounds This already sounds biased and potentially able to prevent several diseases. Okay, so we're going to see if there's any actual data on this that is worth anything. And I'm always interested in new supplements that I haven't heard of before.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, the data that said, or the article that said taurine is the fountain of youth, I took it for like 3 days, 1,000 milligrams. And if I didn't jump off a cliff, Tacy would have killed me. And everyone around me would have killed me.
I saw it in the trash.
Yeah, that did not work for me. Now, can I do taurine and a little energy drink from now and again? Yeah, but I think even the Celsius are making me goofy. But I didn't do Celsius and I didn't do Modafinil yesterday. You know, I have narcolepsy. And then I felt like I had the flu and I was dying. But I actually, and then I slept 10 hours last night.
But then you got to get out of sleep.
Now, but you probably needed it, though.
Yeah, no shit.
I think I had something, though, because you felt tired yesterday. Carissa was over yesterday. She felt tired. And a bunch of people around us felt that way. So I think maybe we may have actually had something. I don't know. Who the hell knows? Who the hell knows? Okay, before we go, Scott, you have something, a question from the fluid family in the waiting room.
That's right. Donna Bell. Donna Bell. She's asking.
Ding, 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 Donna Bell. Oh, I don't know.
When she comes. A hospital breathing treatment goes through a nebulizing machine. And it looks like smoke.
Correct.
Is that the same mechanics of using weed through a bong? Is that being nebulized?
That is a fantastic
good question.
So the way the nebulizer works in the hospital is that you take a solution of whatever the medicine is. Usually it's albuterol, which is a bronchodilator. It's something when it hits the cells in the lung, causes them to contract. It opens up the airways. They will sometimes put another medication called ipratropium bromide in there, which will decrease mucus production and do some other things. Or you could put morphine in there. Sometimes we'll put morphine in the nebulizer. But you put it in the machine, and then it actually aerosolizes it. It's a very small aerosol. And you can do ultrasound nebulize. It's even smaller particles, but it makes a mist. And the mist, you inhale it, and then she noticed that most of the medicine goes out into the atmosphere.
Okay.
You only get drug when you're inhaling.
Gotcha.
Now, they've got new nebulizers that, for whatever reason, never really seemed to hit the market, where it would only inject the medicine when you were inhaling, so you weren't wasting medicine.
Seems like a great idea, doesn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, so that's that. Now, the way a bong works is very different than that. A bong just uses the water to cool and filter out a little bit of shit. So the pathway of that is you put whatever the substance is that you're going to burn or inhale. It could be tobacco, and it's a hookah or pot, and we call it a bong. And you light it on fire, and then the smoke is now drawn through, because you're inhaling, through the water, bubbles through there, is cooled, and some water-soluble substances will be left behind, and then the smoke travels up and into your lungs. So that is more of a filtration type of a system.
And cooling, too.
A cooling and filtration type system, whereas the nebulizer is an actual aerosol aerosol system where, you know, hopefully you get all the medicine at once and you can actually, you know, make one that does that, but it's got a lot of moving parts. So anyway, that's a great question.
Great question. Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Steve.
And it does look like smoke, but it's not smoke. It's not products of combustion. It is actually just the stuff that's in there. It's just nebulized. So it's closer to steam, but it's not steam either. It's really just a mist. it's close to, it's like fog.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Great. All right. Any other questions from there?
Nope. They'll do her.
We have one other one here about nasal allergies, which we're getting into fall allergy season, so I thought it would be
a good one. Hey, Dr. Steve.
Hello.
I've been listening for a while since my husband got me hooked on your show.
Uh-oh.
But calling for the first time.
Thank you.
So I have a question about allergies.
Okay.
I'm a 38-year-old, and I have been a longtime allergy sufferer, you know, pretty much my whole life. Basically, everything environmental that blooms in every season here where I live in Alabama.
Preach it, sister. I'm the same.
Dust, mold, if it's got fur or some kind of dander, I'm allergic to it. I'm
lucky on that. I'm not allergic to dogs or cats, so that's good.
Started allergy shots last year, but I'm also taking over-the-counter medications on bad days. And so bad days, if I have an attack, it's, you know, the sneezing, itchy, watery eyes, itchy face. And Benadryl is the only thing that gives me immediate relief, but it knocks me out even if I just take, like, a half. And so I'm wondering if you knew of anything that might work just as powerfully as Benadryl, but doesn't make me fall asleep as soon as I take it. I appreciate you and Dr. Scott so much. Take care.
Not you, though, Tace.
She's sassy. She's sassy.
I can't. I was looking for the old lady laughing. Oh, there she is. All right, so a couple of things. Tacey, you had this problem recently and actually got benefit from the Navage. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a, if you have a bunch of allergens in your nose, your nose will, the cells in your nose will explode these things called mast cells, and you get histamine release, which causes fluid to be released from the nose as the blood vessels dilate and the loose junctions start to allow fluid, you know, ultrafiltrated serum to pass through, which we call snot. Mm-hmm. And it's trying to wash out those allergens. So the nose can do that. Or you could do it for it. So if you got a Navage, go to drsteve.com and just scroll down. You'll see one on there. You can get it from there, or you can buy it at your local CVS. And when times are bad, put the saline pod in there. Use distilled water only. Wash all those allergens out. It's less for the body to do. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have a big abscess on your arm and the body will eventually take care of it. Or we can lance the abscess, open it up, get all that shit out of there and take some of the burden off of the body of having to do all the work.
Well, she mentioned only OTC medicine.
Correct.
She did not mention prescription medications.
That's correct. So let's talk about the OTC medications that she could use that are non-drowsy. What, you got a couple of them in mind, Tace?
I mean, Allegra D.
Correct.
If the D part doesn't make her nutso.
Oh, very good. I'm going to give you, you know what? You're learning the couching of the advice so that we don't get sued. So
give thyself a bell.
So, correct. You take these things if there's no contraindication to them. That is correct. So, yeah, Allegra is fexofenadine. You can get the generic version at CVS or Walgreens or basically anywhere. 180 milligrams will last 24 hours. It's non-drowsy.
And the nasal sprays are very good.
Yep.
And then there's also Monty Lucast.
Mmm. I knew old Monty Lucast. Yeah. He was a card shark, don't you know?
Lots of medicines out there. And the shots, I did the shots for a long time, and they really did help me.
Yep. Yeah, the shot. If you will do the shots, they will help as long as they identified the correct.
It's a giant
antigens.
Pain in the butt, though.
If they missed an antigen, it'll only help a little bit, and then you got to go back and get retested.
But
So when Tacey mentioned the nasal sprays, there are a couple. One, if you don't want to carry your Navage around with you, you can just get Simply Saline. It is an aerosolized saline, and I stand over the John. Because I don't want the, you know, mucus going into the sink so much. And I'll spray this stuff. I put my head down, spray straight up into my nose, and it's saline. So you can sniff it back, and it won't cause any irritation. and then I'll spray both sides, let it kind of drain out, sit there for a second, then I'll blow my nose. You get a big giant glob of you know, disgusting mucus. And that will help a lot, too, if you don't do the Navage. And then the other nasal sprays are the over-the-counter steroid nasal sprays, Flonase and the like. And you can buy those. There are store brands, and you can get them relatively inexpensive. Mm-hmm. Don't fall for the Afrin allure.
Oh,
Afrin is great for 1 or 2 days. That's oxymetazoline. If you have nasal congestion, that's, you know, stuffed up nose, it'll open you up. But if you use it day after day after day, you'll get addicted to it. My ex-wife,
your current wife, got addicted to it as
really?
Well.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, but it wasn't as funny because my ex-wife, who at the time I was really having a lot of problems with, it was always fun seeing her walk around with this bottle of Afrin, having to spray every 15 minutes to keep things going. That's how addicted to it she was. So you have to take your little pleasures where you can get them. That's all I can say. But so be careful with that. But Sudafed or phenylephrine or the other things that they use in the D formulations can really help. But there are adverse effects from those, including, you know, fast heartbeat, high blood pressure, stuff like that. So just make sure there's no contraindications to that. Okay.
Hey.
Okay.
All right. The Simply Herbals nasal spray.
Oh, shoot. Oh, why didn't.
Okay.
I don't remember.
You see? You're stupid mimes.
I don't remember the last time. I don't remember the last.
He's a fucking idiot.
Last time the Navage guy came up here when it was 100 degrees and sat.
You are one pathetic loser.
Sorry.
You get nothing.
All right. Yeah, that was an error of omission on my part. And not just because Scott's my partner. That stuff is awesome. Yeah, and you can carry it around with you.
Yep.
The CBD version, I think, is probably better for home use. Mm-hmm. But it just depends on your tolerance for CBD. It really helps me sleep, so I don't think I would do it during the day. Mm-hmm. But the regular just Simply Herbals nasal spray is amazing.
Pretty good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, and you just put it in your pocket.
Yep.
Yep. All right.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. What else you got? Nothing?
That's
nothing.
It.
All right. Well, thanks to everyone who's made this show happen over the years. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern on demand, and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. We're coming up to a year without a contract, don't say anything. I don't know what's going on. We're just flying under the radar as we always have.
Which is
totally fine. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules, podcasts, and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps. Quit smoking, get off your asses, get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.